Turn your Bible, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm just going to start reading the verses, but you go ahead and look them up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. I'll read verses 17 and 18. It's right at the end of the book of 2 Peter. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." And this is the verse here. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, it was lovely to have tonight and to see some of the young people who get involved in things and get involved in Christian work. And I think that's fantastic and a brilliant thing to do. And none of us in this room, despite what some of you may think, are that old. I know some of you at like 11, 12, 13 probably think I'm like 90, but there's people older than me in here, okay? It's true. But really, the nice thing about the Studer and the nice thing about getting all of us here is that really, as Christians, if you are a Christian, none of us are any different. We're all struggling with the same things. We all have to face the same challenges. Okay, the details of them are different, but it's still the same challenges as a Christian in this world. And it's nice to come together and actually have that where we can learn from each other and challenge each other. And I think the Studer gives us that opportunity. And it's the thing where the oldest person can learn something from the youngest person, and the youngest person can learn something from the oldest person. And I think that's a pretty special thing. And I think that's the way that God wants it to be, that we learn from each other, and we learn from each other's mistakes, and we learn from each other's good things and the things that we've managed to achieve for God. And it says here in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, "Grow in grace." And, you know, that's the thing that we all have to do. We have to grow. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus by night, and the Lord Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." And really, that's what it's like. I mean, we hear the phrase "born again," but as a Christian, it really is starting off from scratch as a baby almost. You know, because we go into the Christian life, whether you're saved really young or whether you're that bit older, you go into the Christian life with very little knowledge and very little awareness of what's around you in terms of being a Christian, the same way a baby would. A little baby's very needy, naturally, because, you know, they need everything done for them. They need everything, even over the first couple of years of life, they need everything explained to them and shown how to do every little thing. And it's the same for Christians. You know, whenever we're first saved, we really do need everything explained to us. And we need to be told the things that are right for a Christian to do, the things that are wrong for a Christian to do, the places that are right to go, the places that aren't right to go. And, you know, some of you here now are parents. And you know that as the child then gets older, you know, you can see that there's less things you need to explain because some of the things have already been... Now, then you have to go on to the next stage and next stage and next stage. But the child then starts to grow and begins to do things for themselves. And it's the same for us as Christians. We all need to grow. And as we grow, there should be less things that other people, other Christians, are having to actually guide us through and show us. And we become a little bit more independent as Christians. And it says here two things to grow in as Christians. It says, verse 18, "Grow in grace." And that phrase "grow in grace" basically means to grow in the love of Christian things. So, you think of a little baby when they're first born. That little baby really doesn't know how to love. You know, it's not a thing that the baby knows how to do. A baby knows what it needs, but it doesn't know how to love. And it's going to show natural affection to the one who gives it things, because that's the way it works. And over time, that child learns to love the person who has provided for it. And it's the same for Christians. You know, we're very needy as people. And you imagine God, who created the universe, and he looks down at us, and we just seem to be so needy, constantly making the same mistakes, constantly crying out for help and needing the Lord to help us. And it's right that we do that. It's right that a little baby cries out for food, and it's right that we cry out to God. But then as time goes on, we should learn to love spending time with God. We should learn to love spending time with God's people. We should learn to love being in places like this. Not just because we get to see our friends, not just because we get to catch up with people, But because we know that's where God is, and we should enjoy spending time, we learn to love the same way a baby does. And that's what it means to grow in grace, to grow in your love of Christian things. And as Christians, that's what we should be doing. It also says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we have to grow in the knowledge of God. And again, you think of a little baby. A baby can't communicate. You know, obviously there's cries, but a baby can't actually tell you what it wants. And you can see that it wants to communicate, even as, you know, it gets into a few months old. You can see it starts to want to communicate, but it can't get the message across. And it's very much the same as for a Christian sometimes. You know, we want to communicate. We want to be in, you hear people talking about being in communion with God. That basically means just being in conversation with God. And that's what we want as Christians. We know that's the right thing to do. And yet it just seems so hard. It seems like sometimes we just can't get the message through. Or maybe we feel like it's, you know, like you imagine maybe sometimes, you know, our little boy Daniel is now starting to say a lot of things. There's some things he says and we don't understand what he's saying. Because it's just gobbledygook for us, really. Now, he's pretty good, but there's still some things we can't understand. Now, he gets frustrated. Because in his mind, he's communicating this thing perfectly. I've got this nailed. I've asked for blah, 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 blah. And we haven't a clue what he's saying. And sometimes it feels like that for us whenever we pray. You know, maybe not for you, but it certainly has for me in the past. And you feel like you're communicating perfectly well to God, and yet you're getting nothing back, or you're not getting the thing that you wanted to get back. And it's a learning process. Not that we'll necessarily become perfect at communicating, but it's learning what those messages mean. And sometimes God has a different message for us than what we're expecting. And it's about growing in that. And if you think about how a baby learns to talk, you know, a baby learns by listening and by watching. And, you know, if you think of, you know, one of the early words tends to be daddy. But the first word or the first part of that is never daddy. It's da 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 is what goes on. And what they're doing is they're looking, they're listening, and then they're repeating to the best that they can. And eventually da 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 becomes da da dee, and then daddy, and then carries on from there. And that's what we need to do. If we want to learn to communicate with God properly, regardless of how old we are, we need to be in the place where people are praying. We need to be in the place where people are preaching and teaching about God. Because it's only then we're going to learn and listen from what's been said. So that's the talking. But a baby also has to eat. So obviously a baby, first of all, is a baby can't feed itself. So it needs fed. And, you know, that's a pretty straightforward process that we all understand. But we're exactly the same. As Christians, you know, certainly at the start, if you ever, maybe if you think back when you were younger, or maybe if you're not long saved, not long a Christian yourself, you think about looking in the Bible, and you pick up the Bible, and you think, how on earth am I going to get this to make any sense to me? I mean, I look at it, and it just doesn't seem to make any sense. I don't get anything out of it. But it's the same as if we're, you know, we're like babies in that sense. And if you think that a baby needs fed, or else it won't be able to grow, we're exactly the same. So again, we need to be listening to people teaching us. And whether that's through Christian friends, just talking about the Bible and talking about the things of God, or whether it's in a church or in the studer, or wherever that is, we need to be taught these things out of the Bible. And we need fed, and we need to be going to the right places. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, I'll just read it, you don't need to turn to it. It says, 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babes, in other words, babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Okay, so babies need milk, and that's what we need to help us to grow. We need people teaching us out of the Bible and showing us how to understand what the Bible says. But then, very quickly, in Hebrews chapter 5, if you could turn to it, it goes a wee bit further. It talks about the milk again. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. So remember, we need the milk to grow, same way the babies need the milk to grow. But if a baby stayed on milk, or if a child stayed on milk for the first whatever years of its life, that child wouldn't grow very well. And I think it's the same with a lot of Christians. And I just want you to think tonight, if that's what you're like, are you still in the milk? In other words, are you still turning up to church and just going into church and sitting there, you know, basically like a baby with your mouth open and waiting for somebody to stick a bottle in it and feed you? Because I don't think it matters what age you are, whether you're, you know, 12, 22, 32, 52, 92. There's an awful lot of people, I think, go to church and basically sit there waiting to get fed and then leave and go home. They don't ever try and feed themselves. They don't ever go to that next stage where they're actually eating the solid foods, where they're actually trying to lift the spoon themselves and put it in. And by that, I mean, well, basically what it says here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. If you can, do look it up, because it's a very interesting few verses. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, or a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's a wee bit complicated. I'll try and explain that a wee bit. Basically, it says that everyone that's on the milk is unskillful in the word. In other words, people that just go and sit in meetings and want to be fed, it would be hard to have a full conversation with them about the stuff that you find in your Bible. And that's true. If you have people that just turn up at church, go home again, they know they have to be there, they're saved, and they know they have to be at church, but from Sunday to Sunday, they don't think about the things in the Bible, they don't read the things in the Bible, they don't try and study things for themselves, they don't question what they hear, they don't take what they hear and take a look at the Bible and try and make sure it's right, try and understand it for themselves, they're unskillful in the Word of God. And I think a lot of Christians are like that. But what it says here is Paul was saying, for when for a time you ought to be teachers. In other words, enough time has passed that you should now be teaching me. But Paul basically comes back to these people and he says, you're still in the milk. You're still like wee baby sitting with your mouth open. You haven't moved on to the next stage. And for us as young, relatively young people, it's important that we are moving on through the stages like a child does. In other words, we're not sitting waiting for somebody to feed us. We're actually getting excited about the Bible and moving on to the next stage and going, what can I learn from the Bible myself? What can I do to look into here and be challenged in it? And it says there, verse 14, but strong meat, in other words, getting really into the meat of the word, the nitty gritty of the Bible, basically. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, in other words, they use it all the time. They're not just being fed it, they actually use it. They actually are taking it and looking at it themselves. They're listening to what they hear and they're saying, is that right? Do I believe that? And then going to the Bible and making sure. It says, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. In other words, they're more sensitive to the voice of God. Now, is that not what we want? Do we not want in our lives to know the voice of God and to actually know where he's taken us? And it says to discern both good and evil. In other words, to know what's right and what's wrong. Now you think about that. Do we want to be, if you're a Christian here, do you want to know God's will for your life? Everybody would say yes. Well, the way to do that is not to keep just turning up to church with your mouth open. The way to do that is to get into the meat of the Bible. Actually get excited about the Bible. To look into it and see things for yourself. Not so that if somebody asks you why you believe that, you say, well, because I was told to believe it. But so that if somebody says, why do you believe that? You can say, I'll tell you why I believe it. And you can turn on the passage and you say, that's why I believe it. To be so excited about the Bible that it says we can discern between good and evil. In other words, we can know in our lives what's right. Without even coming to God, you can know whether this place or that place is where you should be going. You can know whether this course or that course is the one you should be taking. You can know whether these friends or those friends are the ones you should be having. And it can work like that. It's possible to work like that. But to do that, we need to be in complete communication with God. And it's not something reserved for ministers and pastors and people like that. It's something that we as a group of young people in Studer can do. Because all God asks us He doesn't ask us to go straight from milk to that. He asks us to go from the milk to the mushed up stuff, to the slightly harder stuff, and move up through and constantly try and improve and learn more from the Bible. And as a group of young people, we can do that. And we can only do it through God's help. And I just hope that that's something we can all pray for. That whatever stage we're at, doesn't matter what stage you're at in your Christian life, whatever stage we're at, that we can all pray that God would help us to get to the next stage. And then when we're there, the next one and the next one. So that we don't turn up in 30 years in church and we're still sitting with our mouth open waiting to be fed.